So I really wanted passive income where it was truly passive. You know, you do a little bit of work up front and, you know, vet the operator and make sure the deal is, you know, in the right demographics and everything looks good for the deal. But, you know, once you sign the dotted line and you wire the money, it truly is passive.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Passive Income MBA, your source for learning about real estate syndications. Today, I'm so excited to have Greg Young on. Greg, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. So everyone, Greg is originally from New York, married to his wife, Mandy, and currently lives in Phoenix, Arizona. He's been investing in real estate since 2012 and now focuses on actively syndicating assisted living facilities and multifamily. He's a lifelong student and loves personal development and mindset. Greg, so great to have you here. Why don't you take the listeners back in time and tell us where you started, why you got started in real estate, and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, that sounds great. So basically, I started investing in single family homes here in Phoenix in 2012. So great time to invest, you know, properties at that point were still pretty much pennies on the dollar here in Phoenix. So yeah, I started in single family. And then about 3 years later, I actually became a...
And just real quick, Greg, sorry to interrupt, but were you working a W-2? Were you a realtor at this time?
So at this time, I was working a W-2. I was working for the local county adult probation department, basically doing some admin work. So nothing too fulfilling. I wasn't making a ton of money, but I was just very comfortable. So we all kind of fall into that comfortability sometimes, but that's where I was in 2012. And then 3 years later in 2015, I was actually having a conversation with a friend of mine. He said, you really don't like your job and you don't want to be there for the next 30 years in a cubicle. Why don't you look at becoming a residential realtor? So kind of got the wheels spinning a little bit. And I thought, well, this can definitely help me on the investor side. I mean, understanding the contract and networking with lenders and title and just understanding all the moving parts that kind of go into everything. So I put together a plan and about 6 months later, I quit that W-2 and I was a full-time realtor. So yeah, so I started as an investor, became a realtor in 2015. And then I'm still a realtor at this point and still investing in real estate. I'm not necessarily single family. We're kind of done with that phase. The past couple of years, me and my wife, we've invested as limited partners in syndication deals, some multifamily, one mobile home park. So really just getting our feet wet to really learn and understand the syndication side, you know, what that kind of looks like as a limited partner, paperwork and SEC and all that fun stuff. And yeah, now, like you said, me and a couple of business partners, we are syndicating on the general partner side. So we're putting together these deals for residential assisted living facilities here in Phoenix. And that's going to be a jumping off board point for me to really get into multifamily as well, to start syndicating some of those kind of deals once the time is right and the right partnerships kind of appear.
Awesome. So Greg, tell me a little bit about why you decided you wanted to start being an LP in these syndications, which is a passive investor.
Yeah. So at that point, we were kind of looking, do we buy more single family or do we maybe, you know, buy a fourplex or an eightplex on our own? But honestly, I was just too busy because I was pretty much doing a lot of this on my own. So I really wanted passive income where it was truly passive. You know, you do a little bit of work up front and, you know, vet the operator and make sure the deal is, you know, in the right demographics and everything looks good for the deal. But, you know, once you sign the dotted line and you wire the money, it truly is passive. So it just gave me back a little bit more time to, you know, be a realtor and make that money so I can put those into those limited partner, you know, deals and structures. So for me, it was just a time saver. And yeah, that's exactly why we looked at the LP side. And eventually, you know, sometimes you kind of run out of your own money. So that's why, you know, we're looking to get a little bit more active on the general partner side while doing some realtor stuff as well.
Yeah, for sure. I really love that you're a realtor who likes to invest in syndications. And I'd love for you to tell the listeners, for any other realtors are out there, what are the benefits of, obviously, of real estate professional status? Can you touch on that and any other benefits to realtors specifically?
Yeah, of course. So like I said earlier, just being a realtor, you do understand the process and kind of who does what and the timeframes. Because I think a lot of investors, you know, kind of get mixed up on some of the timeframes, and they think you sign a document today and it gets processed that same day, or not really the case. You know, title takes some time, lenders take time. But yeah, as a realtor, you know, it really helped me understand that kind of process. And yeah, I love realtors who invest in real estate as well. I know there are a lot of realtors who just kind of do the transactions and they make their money and then they spend their money, which is totally up to them. But I love realtors that I can really talk to and say, hey, have you heard about syndication? Are you looking at putting that money to work for you, not necessarily just paying for the next car or vacation? So yeah, it's really interesting when I find realtors that have no idea about how to invest in real estate, even though they're, you know, possibly helping investors buy deals, or either whether it's families and residential or whatnot. But it's fun to educate them and just kind of see why they're not investing in real estate. So it's just a fun conversation to have, and it can kind of go either way with realtors who are investing or have never even thought about investing in syndications with their commission checks.
And what kinds of things are you finding when you have those conversations with realtors about why they're not investing?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It kind of runs across the gamut. I know a few of my realtor buddies here, they're very much into Wall Street and the stock market, which is not anti-real estate. I don't want to say that. I think there's plenty of room to invest in different areas. For me, I'm not a huge Wall Street guy, but yeah, they're just kind of riding the hot market, or they just think it's very easy to get in and out, which I will say that for Wall Street and the stock market, you can, you know, buy Apple today and then sell it tomorrow relatively easy. With real estate, you know, it does take some time to put it back on the market. And so, you know, I understand that point. Sometimes I think realtors, you know, they just want to kind of keep their realtor commissions as one side and then not really think about, okay, now I'm going to put this into another deal and that's going to take another 30 days. So that's another project that I have to manage. So I think for the ease of just putting money into Wall Street or other investments, and not putting it into a real estate deal where they have to babysit that for another 30 or 45 days, I don't want to call it laziness, but maybe they're just kind of taking the simpler route of the two.
Awesome. Can you touch on real estate professional status and explain it to the listeners, and also how that could benefit realtors as opposed to buying a new car, for example?
Right. Yeah. So the real estate professional status, at least the way I understand it with my CPA, is there are certain benefits that, you know, I do have because I do carry a license and I do work. There's a certain amount of numbers every year. I think it's like 750, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, if you work more than that number, then it just qualifies you for, I want to say, additional savings, but basically gives you an extra tax break because you are working in the real estate world as a realtor. You do carry that professional license and that status. So it does help you come tax time. So that's one of the benefits that you really do carry, along with the other tax benefits of investing in real estate, you know, as far as expense deductions and depreciation and all those fun things that we do get at the end of the year as investors and real estate professionals.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because obviously as small business owners, we're incentivized to invest in expenses so that we don't have to, like a new car, for example, so that we don't necessarily have to pay all of that money in taxes. One of the reasons I love syndications is also have real estate tax professional status or real estate professional status. And it means that I can count all of my depreciation that I receive, and we receive depreciation when we invest in syndications, against my income from either my rental portfolio, and if you're a realtor, against your rental income. So, I mean, obviously check it all out with your CPA, but it's a great way to take advantage of the tax benefits without having to just spend money on new equipment like a car or something to that effect.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you are a small business owner, like, you know, when I started my realtor business, that was the first person that I called up was my CPA and said, how does this work? How does the structure work? What can I write off? What can I write through the business? And having a strong CPA who understands, you know, whether it's a realtor or real estate investing is key, because they can answer those questions and, you know, give you those strategies and tips and tricks and really point you in the right direction and, you know, ultimately save you some money and some headaches as well.
Awesome. So what do you see as your trajectory moving forward, Greg, as far as moving from W-2 to realtor? Of course, you were investing in single family the whole way, and now then you started passively investing, and now you're investing in syndications on the GP side. Where do you see your trajectory heading?
Yeah. So the way I'm kind of seeing the near future is I still want to do some realtor, you know, transactions, but candidly, I'm not, you know, networking or marketing a lot as a realtor. It's more of friends and family and referrals, and whatever comes my way, I will definitely help people. I'm, you know, here in the Phoenix area, buy, sell, and invest. But I really do love the real estate investing side a little bit more. So yeah, I want to continue to invest as a limited partner just because it's a great way to build that portfolio. And like we were talking earlier, just have that passive income coming in. And then also on the active side, you know, really, you know, be a part of the general partnership and understand that, how that works a little bit better. But I really want to, you know, jump to the multifamily and maybe do a little RALs as well, the residential assisted living. So kind of balance those two a little bit and yeah, really understand, you know, capital raising and, you know, deal flow and even, you know, asset management. I know a lot of people, I'm going to ask them about asset management. There's not a lot of courses out there for asset management or coaches or stuff like that. So it's one of the areas that I realized after a deal closes, you know, it's not just, hey, you celebrate the deal closed. It's now we have to manage this thing and who's going to manage it? Is it being managed properly? So I think that's one area that I really want to wrap my head around and possibly dive into as an asset manager, because I feel like there might be a need for that in the syndication and multifamily space.
For sure. And so what do you see as the main benefits of moving into the syndication world and away from the realtor world?
Yeah. So the main benefits that I see is I just like the networking. It's fun networking with other investors and other people who have, you know, either been there and done that or other people who are basically maybe at my level or maybe below my level, who knows, but it's just finding out, you know, it's fun talking to people and finding out their story and, you know, what niche they're kind of looking in and why they're looking in that niche. Because obviously in real estate, there's, you know, there's multifamily, single family, mobile homes. There's a million different ways that you can syndicate these kind of deals. So it's fun to talk to people and kind of why they chose their niche and how they're structuring their deals, whether it's a straight syndication or fund of funds, or I'm sure there's a lot of things that I even, you know, would have to learn and figure that out. But yeah, it's just part of the learning process. And I love learning and asking people questions and learning from other people like yourself and other syndicators who have done bigger deals or just thinking about bigger deals and just seeing how we can collaborate.
Awesome. So tell me, Greg, what sort of, I know personal development is important to you. What would you say has been super important to your real estate career when it comes to personal development? This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah. So personally, I love personal development. It's I've basically been doing it for the past 2 years, really. So I really dove into a lot of the gurus, you know, Jim Rohn, Brian Tracy. The one that really moved the needle for me was Hal Elrod. He has a podcast, the Achieve Your Goals podcast, and he has a series of books based around the Miracle Morning, which is something that I actually wrote about in my book. But yeah, the Miracle Morning has literally changed my life since the beginning of 2020. I'm down about 40, 50 pounds. So that's like a huge accomplishment, because if anybody's ever tried to lose weight, you know, it's always on your mind and you're always trying to do it. But in 2020, I rocked it out and I nailed it. So, and the Miracle Morning is basically a morning routine where you kind of put yourself first before the business day starts. So for me, it's waking up and, you know, working out, reading, writing, meditating, doing some breathing. And it really just kind of clears my head and really sets my, you know, my mindset for a positive day. So then once 9 or 9:30, you know, rolls around, that's when the emails come in, the phone calls come in, the pinging and dinging and all that fun stuff that we all deal with. But I'm really set for it because I already had my time and, you know, basically gave myself that time in the morning to clear my head and kind of project the positive day. So So yeah, that was one of the things that really moved the needle for myself personally. And then also business-wise, it just really kind of motivated me and really just allowed me to knock down those dominoes to really get more deals done and create those systems to move the needle forward a lot more than I would had I not had the Miracle Morning on my side.
Awesome. That Miracle Morning and having that morning routine for yourself is so critical to getting anything done in anything new done in your life. And so definitely can relate to that. What time do you wake up? Do you mind sharing?
Yeah. So usually I wake up between 6 and 6:30 and I'm done with my morning routine right around 9. Sometimes it goes a little bit later, depending on the day. But yeah, I do it every day. Even on the weekends, I do like a scaled down version of it. There's a few things that I kind of drop off on the weekends. But yeah, it's one of those things that it's ingrained in my head at this point. So it's just like waking up and brushing your teeth and taking a shower. It's reading, writing, meditating. That's just something that I have to do every day, or else, you know, I kind of feel off, or it just kind of throws my day off.
That's so awesome. And just curious, is that something that your partner also does, or how do you work in your Miracle Morning along with your wife?
Yeah. So she does a little bit of it, but not necessarily follows the whole program. So honestly, I just, with quarantine, it's actually been, you know, a lot easier because we have our systems and we kind of know where we're at, you know, during the day. So she knows if my door is shut at 7:30 in the morning, I'm probably doing my morning routine to not really bother me. So yeah, we just kind of have that figured out at this point. Yeah, it's been great. And, you know, she's teaching me some things as well. She's better at, you know, a few things that I need to get better at. And I think some of my morning routine is kind of rubbing off on her with some of this personal development as well. So it's been great kind of going back and forth.
Yeah. I was just thinking for the listeners who are not familiar with the Miracle Morning, what are the 6 components of the Miracle Morning and how do you structure your Miracle Morning?
Yeah. So the acronym is called SAVERS. And I'm going to try to remember all this. So the first one is silence. There's affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and the last S is scribing, which is basically writing. So those are the 6 that I do. I kind of do them in different order sometimes, just depending on how I'm feeling. But yeah, those are the 5 or 6 things that I do, you know, every day. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, I hop on my bike for exercise. Sometimes I'll go for a run or a walk or something like that. But those are the 5 or 6 core fundamentals of the Miracle Morning, the SAVERS acronym. So it's pretty easy to remember. And yeah, I just kind of rock them out every day and it just makes me feel great in the morning.
Awesome. And just to get really granular with that, do you have like a specific number of minutes that you do each thing?
Yes. So the breathing I've actually kind of increased. So I think it started out as maybe like 5 minutes because the breathing and meditation I do together. And I don't know if you meditate at all, but it's very hard sometimes. You know, sometimes your mind just kind of races and goes over here and over there. So in the beginning, it was really challenging for me. So I kind of set myself at 5 minutes and then now I'm up to about 20 minutes. So it's, you know, so some things I really try to increase and, you know, make better in my morning routine. And then exercise is usually 20 to 30 minutes. Silence, I usually do for about 5 or 10 minutes. I really enjoy that actually. So yeah, I do have a lot of time limits on those 5 or 6 things just to kind of keep me on track to get done by like 9 or 9:30 at the very latest.
Yeah, for sure. And with your weight loss that you mentioned, was that mostly due to the exercising or did you, the Miracle Morning also help you with your diet? What was that about?
Yeah. So I think a lot of things actually helped me. I think, you know, eating less cookies and moving more was probably the last thing that really helped me because, you know, we obviously all know if you need to lose weight, you're probably eating, you know, more calories or bad calories, and you should probably be moving more with exercise. But I knew that 10 years ago and I didn't lose the weight 10 years ago. So for me, it was more of the personal development of really getting down to why do I want to lose this weight? You know, for me, it was more of a health issue. I really didn't want to push myself to have anything really bad happen to me, you know, being chubby or obese or whatever you want to call it. So for me, I was kind of running away from that. And then once I dropped 20, 30 pounds, I was like, oh, I'm feeling really good now. Let me kind of maximize this and see how far I can go. But the other thing that really helped me was the quarantine and COVID. I basically realized that I was eating a lot of bad, unhealthy food when I was going out to happy hours and client lunches and all those networking meetings. So when we had the shutdown, I was basically eating food, you know, at the house, and my wife cooks really healthy. So the weight really just started to drop off pretty easily. And I was like, all right, cool, this is working. And so everything kind of just came together with personal development and quarantine, and then obviously eating a little bit healthier and moving more too. But yeah, I would say personal development was probably the biggest driver, and then quarantine, and then just doing the things that we all know we should do to lose weight and be healthy.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I'm definitely a personal development junkie too. And I'm curious how you came to, because you were a realtor for quite a while before, it seems like, or maybe it was a few years. What would you say before you found personal development? What was it that actually pushed you into that space?
Yeah, so it was actually a trip to Belize, believe it or not. I don't know if you're familiar with Robert Helms and Russell Gray of the Real Estate Guys. So they have Robert Helms has a $250 million development in Belize. So they offer a trip where you can go down there and kind of, you know, get the lay of the land and go over, you know, real estate deals and everything. And Belize is it's a country in Central America, but it's one of the countries that me and my wife, we always wanted to go to. We love the Caribbean, sit on the beach and, you know, those kind of vacations. So we went on this trip with Robert and we met him and he's super nice guy, super smart. So long story short, we actually ended up investing in a syndication in Belize with two of his students, Ryan and Curtis, who now are friends of me and my wife. And then they invited me into the mastermind, which they were in. And it was basically just a personal development mastermind. And that's where I really jumped into personal development and mindset. And that just knocked down that one domino and it opened up a whole new world for personal development. And that's what really got me rocking and rolling and moving forward with personal development and mindset.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've been through quite a transformation with that in the last couple of years. So congratulations on that. How has it affected your real estate business?
Yeah, it's been quite a journey for sure. But yeah, on the realtor side, it definitely helped me be a little bit more confident when I'm talking to clients or, you know, as a realtor, you get a lot of rejections or people say, no, not right now. Probably 2 or 3 years ago, I would have taken it personally. But now I just realized it's part of the game, part of business. And that's one of the things that I really shifted in my mind was don't take things very personally, especially in business. It's just business. It is what it is. So it's really helped me kind of streamline that process and create a lot of other processes around the real estate business and on both sides, the realtor and the investing side as well.
That's so awesome. And one more question on your miracle morning. So the last one is, so do you do all of your exercise in the morning then, or do you have two workouts? How do you structure your exercise?
Yeah, so I do everything in the morning, which was dead set against in the beginning, because usually I was like, oh, I'm going to work out at 3 today because I feel like I have more energy after lunch. I told myself, you know what? You know, Hal Elrod is doing this. He has a proven system. Let me just try this thing 100%. So now I'm addicted to the morning workout and the morning routine. I probably could work out in the afternoons, but it's just one of those things where it kind of gives me energy for the day knowing that I get it done before 9 a.m. So I'm a morning workouter and yeah, I wouldn't have it any other way, honestly.
Yeah, I can very much relate to that. I work out in the mornings as well, first thing, and it's part of my routine. And I'm just so compelled to do it every morning because I know that it's going to give me energy. And I've just had too many days where if I don't work out first thing in the morning, then I feel somewhat lethargic and the day just doesn't go right, you know? And so working out in the morning, even though I don't necessarily always feel like it when the alarm goes off, I just know in my bones that if I make myself get up and work out, then I'm going to have more energy and I'm going to have a good day. So it's really powerful and it takes commitment. And sometimes it takes just getting to a point where you just need to try something else to sort of kickstart your life and, or just have better days. So that's really awesome. Greg, thanks so much for coming on. I'd love to shine the spotlight on you. Tell the listeners how they can get a hold of you, anything else that you'd like to share with the audience. Tell us about you.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Yeah, I was going to say, if any of your members of the audience want to get a hold of me, you can either go to my website, which is sevenfigurecapital.com. So it's just all spelled out. Or if they want to email me, it's just Greg, G-R-E-G, at sevenfigurecapital.com. And I was going to say, I know we talked about the book briefly, but if your listeners want a copy of my chapter, just send me an email and mention this podcast and I'll gladly send them over a PDF of my chapter. Just get a little bit more story about myself and what I wrote in the book. And then obviously if they want to order the book, it's on Amazon and, you know, feel free to do that. But yeah, no, this has been great. I've had such a blast talking to you and thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. And just so that for the listeners who aren't watching video, what's that book called?
Yeah, it's called Success Habits of Super Achievers.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on being part of that effort. I'm sure it's a super awesome read and I definitely need to pick up a copy. Anyways, thanks so much, Greg, for coming on and look forward to seeing you next time.
Great. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, Please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, luxe-cap.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.